The illegal wildlife trade has long been reported as one of the most prolific crimes in the world, worth billions of pounds annually. Images of elephant and rhino poaching for ivory might be amongst the first which spring to mind when you hear of the term. But many other species are similarly overexploited, such as birds of prey, and you might be surprised to hear, eels. The UK Financial Intelligence Unit has a national remit to analyse information on economic crime received through suspicious activity reports. This is the Financial Intelligence Podcast, brought to you by the UK FIU. In this two-part special, we will be discussing the international impacts of the illegal wildlife trade, or IWT as you will hear it referred to, and the predicate crimes which go hand in hand with it, from organised crime to money laundering. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Financial Intelligence Podcast. I'm Michelle Bakewell, a senior officer in the UK FIU and your host for today. Joining me are Investigative Support Officer Ian Guildford from the National Wildlife Crime Unit, or NWCU, and all the way from Canada, Deputy Director of Intelligence Barry McKillop from the Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Centre of Canada, otherwise known as FinTrack. Ian, if I may come to you first, can you briefly explain what the remit of the NWCU is?
Yes, the unit is a what we call a police support unit. It's got UK coverage as far as Scotland, Wales, England and Northern Ireland. It's a small unit. There's only 20 staff members made up of analysts, intelligence officers, investigative support officers. And we've also got two detective constables and a detective sergeant now seconded to the unit. So we've grown over the last few years, but our primary aim is to liaise between agencies and support the UK police forces in the investigation of wildlife crime.
Thank you. And Barry, what role does FinTrack play in the fight against the illegal wildlife trade?
Well, FinTrack is actually Canada's FIU, so we're the Financial Intelligence Unit. And I know that the audience probably knows exactly what an FIU does, but a little different than many in the world, FinTrack is actually, we're an arm's length independent agency, so we're independent, although we report to the Canadian Parliament through the Minister of Finance, but different than probably most FIUs in the world, the law enforcement community doesn't have direct access to our database. So FinTrack really does exist to do two things. One is we do supervision, so we do the compliance. We're the regulator for anti-money laundering, anti-terrorist financing activities in Canada. And we're also the financial intelligence unit, and we produce actionable intelligence for our law enforcement, national security, and other partners, both domestically and internationally. I think somewhat unique as well, there aren't that many FIUs in the world that receive threshold reports. So in Canada, we receive all reports, large cash transactions, electronic fund transfers, over $10,000 in or out of Canada or into a bank if it's a cash transaction. So that is a little bit unique in terms of the electronic fund transfers. And as of a couple of years ago, we've also started receiving reports from virtual currency dealers, which is also a unique report for us, as it's only started coming in a couple of years ago, and it really does give us another view and another point of view into anti-money laundering, anti-terrorist financing activities, and the use of virtual currency. So it's quite interesting in terms of what we can pull together as actionable disclosures for our partners to assist them in their investigations.
Now, in the most recent strategic assessment of IWT produced by the UK FIU, the term IWT is explained as the sale or exchange of animal or plant resources and their derivatives, such as skins, any product made from or including a wild animal or plant. Although today we will be looking solely at animal species. The majority of species affected by IWT are protected under the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, or CITES. CITES is a global agreement to both regulate and, as needed, ban the international trade of species which are under threat. Barry, can you tell me which types of illegal wildlife activity are prevalent in Canada?
Well, we have a very biodiverse country. So our reporting is actually showing that we have a significant involvement, I think, of organized crime with respect to wildlife trade in Canada. And it's both as a source country, we're also a destination country, and Canada can also be a transit country, both for illegal wildlife as well as the money that's related and linked to illegal wildlife trade. What we see is in Canada, mostly bears, for example, where we'll have bears that are illegally trafficked for their bile, their gallbladders, and other parts used for traditional medicine market, as well as baby eels. The elvers are quite popular, and we see a fair number of elvers and eels that are being transported to Asian markets for food. We also have walruses, narwhals. We have quite the biodiverse species in Canada that are being, unfortunately, illegally tracked and illegally trafficked. In light of that, and seeing that as an issue and the links between cross-crime areas that are linked to organized crime, last year, FinTrack launched a very innovative international public-private partnership to address this issue. It's called Project Anton, actually, and Project Anton was named after Anton Mazimba, who was the head of security at the Timbavati Private Nature Reserve and a global conservation technical advisor, who was, in fact, murdered for his commitment to protecting and conserving wildlife. He was actually gunned down in his own driveway, and both his wife and one of his children were also shot. The wife and child survived, luckily. Unfortunately, Anton did not. And we were fortunate to be able to use his name for our project to address this issue. And it was quite interesting when we wanted to launch this and we started to talk to international partners about their involvement in this. It's led by Scotiabank, which is one of our big banks in Canada, and supported by the Royal Foundation's United for Wildlife Network, obviously FinTrack. AUSTRAC is involved, which is Australia's financial intelligence unit, the UK financial intelligence unit, National Crime Agency, the Western Union, Environment and Climate Change Canada, Fisheries and Oceans Canada, RCMP, our Canada Border Services Agency, and the South African Anti-Money Laundering Integrated Task Force. And we've had other partners join since we've launched our operational alert in support of Project Anton. It really is quite an international and innovative approach. It's based on our Project Protect, which was our flagship public-private partnership to address human trafficking for sexual exploitation that was launched in 2016. As we did with Project Protect, we launched and created an operational alert, which actually provides financial indicators related to the illegal wildlife trade. These indicators are used by banks and other reporting entities around the world now to really flag transactions that are related to this crime so that we can go after the money. And it really is about following the money when it comes to illegal wildlife trade. It's linked to a number of other organized crime activities such as drug trade, human trafficking, and others. And really, the financial transactions give us another view and another way into having law enforcement track these groups down and hopefully intervene and stop the illegal wildlife trade as well as other activities that they tend to be involved in. So I think as a direct result of the increased attention to the topic, we've seen a significant increase in suspicious transactions reports, for example, in Canada. We've done already over 50 disclosures in the last year. These are financial disclosures to law enforcement, both domestically and internationally, in support of their investigations. So not only are we seeing the wildlife in Canada being trafficked and being illegally traded, but we're also having a new sight into the financial transactions related to this crime. And it's been of significant support and use for law enforcement in attacking this type of crime. So that really is the results of Project Anton, and it continues to grow. And we continue to see other countries that are interested in joining this public-private partnership. And we've also created an FIU toolkit, which has a number of indicators, a number of words and related species that should be looked for when they're monitoring their transactions through their banks.
Wow, that sounds like an incredibly broad-scoped project. Thank you. Bears and narwhals are obviously not something that we have to deal with in the UK. So how does that illegal wildlife activity that we see in the UK differ from Canada, Ian?
It's funny you should say that. You'd mentioned bears and narwhals. We might not be a source country for them, but we have seen them in trade within the UK, and some coming from Canada. I recall picking up some polar bear skin that originated from Canada, although when it was checked, it turned out to be Arctic fox and not polar bear. So even the seller was duped. I think the easiest way to describe it within the UK We deal with it by way of priority areas. It's an historic progression. We used to very much look at wildlife crime as firefighters. So when an incident come in, we'd go and deal with it, step back, next incident come in, so forth. And it was decided that we really had to have priority areas. In this arena, the International Wildlife Trade and CITES is one of the priority areas. Just for the record, the other areas, they are raptor persecution within the UK, badger persecution, poaching and hare coursing, strange one, freshwater pearl mussels. But as I say, CITES is the one that is a priority area for myself and for a lot within the unit. What we have as trade, well, we're both a, same as Barry said, source and consumer country. As a source country, our main target areas are birds of prey, and in particular, the illegal laundering into the wildlife trade of peregrine falcons. They're very highly sought after from the UK and demand high money. There's a lot taken from the wild and laundering of those birds into the captive market. And there's a high demand for them over in the Middle East countries for flying and for racing in those parts of the world, and some very good money paid for wild taken birds. Wild taken birds have got will be a sought after bird because they will fly faster than maybe a captive bred bird. So if they can get a wild source bird, they'll pay good money for it. So straight away, you can see the financial side of it kicking in. The other big issue for ourselves in the UK is the glass eel trade. And whenever we mention eels, people sort of look at you and think, what are we talking about? And I remember Barry mentioned it earlier. The glass eel trade is a multi-million pound criminal network involved in that trade, primarily trying to source the demand for it in the Asian markets, and in particular in China, who are the source countries and require our glass eels, European eels, from both the UK and other parts of Europe to stock their fish farms. So those are the two main areas I would describe as prevalent within the UK. We have got a risk strategy, and we score the risk in relation to the species involved. So we've got a high risk being the peregrine and the glass eel. And as we move down, we've got then looking at the trade in timber and reptiles, where we are a consumer country. We won't be a supplier. So it's the reptiles, live reptiles and derivatives from reptiles. And also the timber market coming in as a medium risk has been scored within UK. And then moving down to lower risk, we're looking at beauty and health products, medicines, so diet pills coming in full of cacti ingredients, aloe vera coming in. All of these are CITES protected species and often getting seized at the border because they've got no paperwork coming in. Ivory used to be quite high up. But since the Ivory Act came into play within the UK, we've seen a drop in the trade in ivory. But what we do say is a trade in both live species and parts and derivatives. So it's, as I said, within the reptile trade, you can look at live reptiles coming into the UK, being either brought in smuggling or being brought in with false paperwork. And then you've got the issue in relation to like crocodile skin wallets and watch straps, which are regularly being seized on the border, and those are coming in. So that really is what the trade is. As I say, we're a mix between a source country for those two that I mentioned, but primarily we're a consumer country. We buy from the rest of the world.
That's incredible. I had absolutely no idea that there were such differences between peregrine falcons bred in captivity against those that are wild. And it's nice to hear that your unit is being more proactive rather than reactive now. Can you tell me what impact the illegal wildlife trade has environmentally and economically in the UK?
Well, if you go back to the peregrine falcon straight away, these species are listed on CITES for a reason, the reason being that its commerciality is going to affect the population of that species, and it's exactly the same as a European eel. So any illegal trading without permits cannot be controlled, and that means that there's going to be a drop in the population. It will threaten that population's survival in the wild. Economically, well, our big issue is that we've got a lot of legal trade taking place, and it's trying to find, and perhaps we come back to this, but trying to find the illegal trade, which is being masked by the legal trade. When you're saying that, the effect that can have is you've got some very good legal traders who will comply with the legislation and comply with the rules that are out there and the laws that are out there. And the illegal trade is affecting their commerciality at the end of the day. They're carrying out illegal trade. They've got a business, and that illegal trade will have a knock-on effect for them. Obviously, not within our remit, but we got to look at the fact that if the items are being smuggled out, they're not going out with the correct paperwork or documentation. There's a loss of revenue for the UK. It's not being picked up on the border. And it's something I think the unit is very conscious of at the moment. I'm very keen to sort of engage on that, the financial investigation side of matters, before we just deal with the criminality as it's an offence. That's it. We're going to deal with that offence, whichever offence it is, and leave it at that. But now we will try and run a financial investigation alongside the criminal investigation. So it's literally, as the saying goes, follow the money. And I think we are much more aware of that because of the risks to the UK economy. Of any illegal acts is going to affect the UK economy. Wildlife crime is no different when you see the scale of it.
And Barry, are the economic and environmental impacts similar for Canada?
They are, actually. I mean, as Ian mentioned, the crossover and the challenges between the legal and illegal trade, and as Ian was talking about the eels in Canada, the illegal trading and poaching of eels actually led to the legal fishing being shut down for a while last year in two of our major eastern provinces, which obviously affects the well-being and the livelihood of those legal people that are fishing eels. And it had a significant impact both on the local economy as well as on individuals. And we also saw a fair amount of violent assaults, theft, and significant property damage that were linked to the illegal trade at that point, which led to the shutdown. We're also, I mean, Canada, we derive millions, I think, from ecotourism every year. That's certainly not in my remit in terms of how much tourist money we bring in. But anything that threatens the biodiversity of Canada, threatens some of our iconic Canadian species by targeting them or their food supplies, is going to have an impact on Canadians. It will have an impact on our revenue that comes into Canada, as well as individuals who make a legal living with respect to wildlife and maintaining their habitats and so forth. And we've also seen illegal wildlife trade that can have serious public health implications as well. And I think Ian can speak to this as well, the crossover between contact with humans and wildlife outside of their nature habit due to illegal wildlife trade. It significantly increases the risk for animal to human transmission of infectious diseases, for example. And we've seen the world go through something like that very recently. And unfortunately, as this trade continues and as it broadens, the impact is going to continue as well, and we're going to see more and more diseases likely that are crossing between animals and humans. And perhaps less prevalent, perhaps, or less visual in Canada and the UK, but certainly in developing economies in the Global South, for example, the corruption that tends to accompany the illegal wildlife trade has a significant impact on the stability of countries and the stability of world trade generally. There is really no illegal wildlife trade without corruption. And it happens across the board from A to Z when it comes to the illegal wildlife trade. And trying to address that, I think, is also a significant challenge, both economically as well as socially. So the impacts are very far-reaching. It's not just losing an elephant or just losing a bear. The impacts are much, much broader than that, whether it's in Canada or globally.
Thank you both. This has been a very insightful first-part introduction to the illegal wildlife trade. In part two, Ian and Barry will be highlighting the predicate crimes associated with the trade, key indicators for reporters, and the importance and value of international cooperation in tackling this global crime. I hope you will join us.